Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Ann Perkins and Leslie Note from Parks and Rec. I mean, it hasn't been that long. Come on, women, get it together. They were like super in love, romantically, everything. I ship them till I die. Do you remember that show?
God, yes. And even they, like, their little comments where it's like, no, unfortunately, we're both heterosexual. I was like, that's a mood.
And that's exactly how I wish more straight people would acknowledge that, like, other people ship them. They should just be like, sadly, we're both straight. And after that said, come on, you've won over the queers forever.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What you doing? How you been?
Good, enjoying this day off on Labor Day. A little bittersweet because I like to get paid, but it's all good.
I'm just enjoying not having to have woken up. I mean, I was supposed to wake up for 7:30 in the morning workout, and I did not. I was still all drunk, so
no, yeah. Labor today.
No laboring today, not any kind of fitness. Maybe later, but none of the 7:30 a.m. kind. But anyways, hi. It's been forever, and we've had interesting weekends, and I'm super excited to hear about yours because you did something fucking crazy, and I'm fangirling, and I need to know everything because I've held it in until now. Please tell me what you did. Please tell everyone what you did.
Well, you know what's wild is that, like, I fucking live in LA, and I'm not aware of anything. So it was actually because of you posting about this Q&A with Raul Castillo at the AMC Sunset in Hollywood, that I went and got tickets for it, and I went and saw him speak after I saw this beautiful movie. Like, literally, I think today it's out in more theaters other than, like, the big cities. So Dallas people or, like, smaller city people, like, check out your local listings, because We the Animals is one of the best movies that I've seen this year. And Raul spoke on it afterwards, and I got to know a bunch of stuff regarding, like, the behind the scenes, working with kids and his methods, like, a lot of really cool stuff that we're probably going to cover in our next episode. And, oh my God.
Super excited about it.
The dude is, like, I was telling Pat about it yesterday. I was like, he's meant to be an actor, because I think he's really good at, like, using other people's words and saying them and portraying them, because he did an amazing job in this movie. But in real life, he's very, like, awkward and sort of shy. But mostly, like, you know what I mean? Like, he struggles to put out his words sometimes, and I feel that at my core. I've gotten way better at it because of podcasting, but back in the day, I would be like, how do I explain these two things I'm feeling? I don't know. Out loud, anyways. I could write it, but I could never speak it. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys don't know who Raul Castillo is, if this is your first time into this pod, we did a whole, like, we did a whole episode on him and his small role, but very, very important, crucial role for us in HBO's Looking. And that was maybe, like, two episodes ago. We love him. He's also, he wasn't just in a movie this weekend, and he was also in a music video that I also want to talk about, because it's really, really, like, I can't even, like, put together how I felt when I saw this video, because besides him being in We the Animals, he was also in a music video, an Audrey Day music video, get this, directed by Aurora Guerrero. And if you don't know who she is, she was our very first episode.
To episode one.
She was referred episode one. She directed Mosquita y Mari, I always say and we fucking love her. We fangirl her. She, like, means everything to me, especially, and I know to us, both of us, because, come on, a queer Latina director, like, I can't. It's just, it's overwhelmingly beautiful. And then Raul Castillo's in this music video, and then Mosquita from Mosquita and Mari makes, like, a cameo. She makes a cameo, like, and I just, like, passed out when I saw her, because I was like, wait. I, like, paused my computer. I freaked out. I wasn't supposed to be watching this. I was watching this at work. I paused it on my tiny screen and was like, oh, my God, that's Mosquita. And I, like, freaked out on Twitter, and I sent it to everybody and was like, you guys, this is happening right now. Raul Castillo, Aurora Guerrero, Mosquita from Mosquita y Mari are all in this thing, and it exists, and it's such a good song. And what's even better, okay, let's go to the origin. So when they were going to make this video, Lin-Manuel Miranda asked Ava DuVernay, just casually. He was like, hey, do you know, just casually, he just asked her, like, hey, you know, who would be a good person for this? And she's like, oh, easy, Aurora Guerrero. Like,
it was a queen. It was a queen. Have you seen, like, lately, going around Twitter, this article, which I think has a bad title, but basically the article is about how Hollywood has fucked itself with when it comes to POC and
diversity,
POC creators, and just diverse creators in general, because they didn't get the opportunity, and now, like, they lack a certain amount of experience expected for certain roles. And not to say that they're bad, it's just like, you know, you have to have a whatever 3 years and blah, blah, blah. But it's fucked itself in that way. And that's going around, and it just, like, brought me back to think about how Ava for that season, I think the last season of Queen Sugar, got a woman and usually POC director for every single episode. She put in the time. She did that shit. Directors.
And it's, you know, it's such, like, it's such bullshit, and everyone's calling out, including her. She's like, that's not the problem. The problem is that we're not putting up the people to do it. And she is actively an ally to women, to queer women, to people of color. She's not just like, she's not just talking shit. She is actively walking the walk. Like, her Lena Waithe, Ava DuVernay, Aurora Guerrero, like, there are women out here walking the walk, and they're Black women. And shout out to these, like, amazing Black women who are putting on other people of color, other queer people in these places for them to win. This is so important. And it's like, no one does it. You know, like, I'm sure there's other people that we're not crediting, and they deserve that credit too. But I'm just saying, they're not just talking that shit. They're using their power to put in the people who can do this, you know? And that's so important. That's what we, like, that's what we stand on. So it's just so important.
It is. It's so great. And I love that it's being called out, because it's true. Like, for someone who's just trying to get started in this industry, especially if they don't have 100 connections, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be the first person that gets the phone call, you know what I mean, to be a writer's assistant. Like, I'm not. But, you know, we're out here struggling. And you know what? Now, like, Hollywood wishes that it had given me that role 2 years ago, so that now I would have had that experience. Like, and been able to do this shit.
You see how far my neck turned?
Yeah,
you said
I was
that?
Like, is she an owl? But anyways.
And, like, for them saying there aren't, like, POC writers and shit, like, that's such bullshit. You guys just aren't hiring.
Yeah,
them,
well, that's why I say that the article that's going around, the title is misleading, because that's what it leads you to think. It leads you to think, like, oh, there isn't any. But no, the article is more about, like, there is a bunch of them, but they haven't been given opportunities, and now their resumes are a little shorter than most people prefer, and now Hollywood has fucked itself. It's like, it's not a shortage of people, it's a shortage of experience.
Facts. Yes. And
anyways,
yes,
now
anyways.
Hopefully we get some more people out there. We'll see what happens.
And speaking of having true diversity, let's get into, like, a very interesting thing that even we got wrong and posted on our Twitter, and we quickly changed. We figured it out.
Our Instagram,
we apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, we apologize for that. And we did further research, you know, because the internet is always misleading. So recently there's been a lot of controversy surrounding a new film coming out called La Negrada. And it's supposed to center Afro-Mexicanos, and what ended up happening is it's actually directed by a white passing Latinx man, and there we go. That's all I had to say for you to know. That's already been ruined. So we found out very quickly that the director is a fucking asshole. He's a fucking racist, and he called Afro-Mexicanos, he called them savages, and fuck him forever. We no longer want to see this movie, have nothing to do with this movie. And there's been several associations and organizations that have come together and put out these statements. And there's one especially that we posted that we thought was a really good review of the movie. It's written by Afro-Mexicana. So let's start trusting our Afro-Mexicanas. And when they review things, we have to fucking listen. This has been written by Ebony Bailey. And it's been published on a website called Mujeres en Medio. And I love that name. That's amazing. And it centers POC, real women, real diversity, real like coverage of things, kind of like what we do, but in Mexico and all over Latin America. So it's actually super important that we center them and we center their voices. And we need to actually read the article, and what it says is that, you know, it's seemingly it's about diversity, and actually, wow, we're finally going to cover Afro-Mexicanos, and yet it's all just played as kind of a joke. So I want to direct everybody to that article. We need to trust our Afro-Mexicanas when they review movies, and that's who we're going to listen to. Like, fuck white men when it comes to this movie, and fuck white passing Latinx when it comes to this movie. Y'all can just get shot into space. I don't fuck with y'all at all. What did you think about it, Maite?
I'm glad that it was caught, because, you know, I was, like, at work and stuff, and I was like, okay, let me peep my my phone real quick. And then I got to pretty quickly go in and do some research, and I found that article, or a article. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the same one, but I found an article, and I was just like, retweet, retweet, retweet. Like, check this out.
It's the same one. It's the same one.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's pretty easy to find, like, you know what I mean? Like, remezcla, what the fuck? Like, if I was able to find it within 2 minutes of like getting a comment on Instagram, what are you
change
doing?
Your article,
you
know, change, I mean? The article,
like,
yeah
retract, say something. So there's that. Just saying, like, it doesn't take that long to do some research, and I'll be posting this fellow white Latinx passing Latina will be posting that article on our website, escabronaschinas.com.
yeah, we have it up on the Instagram. We have it linked to everything, but we're going to make it easier for you guys to find. Don't support this movie. I usually don't, like, give people a diagnosis of a movie before it comes out. I like to give things a chance, but no, this is not one of those movies. Just like how Guardians of the Galaxy 3 isn't going to happen, as it shouldn't, because fuck them. This is exactly how I feel about this, is like, La Negrada is canceled. We want real Afro-Mexicanas telling these stories, and they're out there and they exist. And again, it's the same thing. We need to hear them. And I'm tired of white dudes telling stories that don't belong to them, and especially when they're going to be disrespectful. That's another thing. So
I feel really bad about, like, thinking about the actors in that movie. You know what I mean? Because they...
yeah, they don't deserve that.
They don't. And they do deserve attention. They deserve, like, the...
They deserve, like, to be centered.
Right. They deserve to be centered and respected. So I hope that this doesn't affect them negatively, and I hope that
it shouldn't. You know, like, you go into things, and you know they're just actors. They're part of a project, but they ultimately, you know, the story isn't getting told from their point of view. So I don't blame them, and I just hope the best. You know, like, what can you do? This is really shitty.
Right, for sure. Let's see, what else is on our agenda?
Yeah, so like, okay, so we're gonna change things up. We're gonna lead in a completely different direction, a kind of happy direction, hopefully. I want to talk really quick about Texas politics, just for like a small smidgen of a second, just because it's funny.
It's still gay, don't worry.
It's gay, don't worry. Like, it's yeah, I love it. So Beto O'Rourke is running for senator, one of the senators of Texas. He's going against who's that white man? I fucking
Ted Cruz.
Him. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember white boys' names. Ted Cruz. Yes. he's running against Satan. And they thought, the Texas GOP thought they was going to be cute. And they put out this picture of Beto in a dress for his punk band. And it is literally everything I've ever wanted. Like, before, I was like, white guy changed his name to Beto. It's my brother's name. Like, I feel very, like, you know, I feel something about that. And then I see this dude in a dress, and I'm like, I am so happy right now. Do you see his little flower dress? I was like, this is so 90s grunge, and I love it.
Yeah, you look like... Like, he looks kind of dorky, like, right now. He's kind of dorky-looking fella, so I thought in that picture he was the one in the middle, and I was like, okay, what? And then I realized he's, like, the badass dude on the left in a dress, and I was like, oh shit, Beto. So Beto. If I wasn't officially now registered in California, I would be voting for him, but I am now gonna be voting for whoever in California is running, so there's that. I'm an official Californian as of last Tuesday. So
oh, you changed your license. Mm-hmm. Oh, gross. You got to show me that off. Well, off this. Anyways, you know, yeah. And I just thought, like, wow, like, look at Bethel, like, our gender queer king. Like, he's just out here not giving a fuck about gender norms. Doing he says, fuck your binary. Yes. Fuck the binary. And I stan anyone who's saying fuck the binary. So, you know what, Bethel? You have my vote. We support you officially now because you wore a fucking dress. Not just that, though, you know.
Of course not. Obviously for not the that, but
for shits and giggles, that's why I'm voting for you. Like, I'm going to tell everybody it's because you wore a fucking dress, even though we know it's other things. But, you know, I'm not going to bring that into this. It's because you wore a dress, boo. That's why I did it.
So congrats. You got my vote. It paid off.
It paid off, boo. But yeah, so we just wanted to kind of lighten the fucking shade fest we were having.
And this
dragging
is gonna
people
be pretty much like our banter is gonna reflect upon a lot what we're gonna be covering today, because it's gonna be partly political but also very like sweet and like lighthearted. So it's gonna be, I think it's a good mix, and it's a throwback episode.
Yes, it is a throwback episode because we're covering some like oldie goldies. Like,
some
I would say they're like
oldies. That's a perfect way to say that.
Golden oldies. Yeah. Old and goldies. Mm-hmm. Golden oats.
It's
golden
good.
Oats and raisins.
It's good,
it's good shit. This is like eating like that sweet whole grain cereal.
Okay.
Look at your face.
That's specific. I don't like milk or cereal.
I can't
cereal,
have
so.
Whole grain anymore, but. I can't have milk. I'm lactose. And I don't.
I
also can't have green anymore.
Intolerant.
So. You made a punny. Good job. Good job. I'm really bad at puns, but I can laugh at them. Mm-hmm. Go me. So today, let's tell them what we're going to talk about.
I'm going to talk about Deb's D.E.B.S.
And I'm going to be covering Itty Bitty Titty Committee, two classics.
Yeah, two great ones, two like underrated, underviewed, and after this, hopefully understood movies.
Understood. I feel like these are like kind of like the intro movies to like when we were gabies, when we were growing up. You know, because there wasn't a lot for us back then, okay?
I wish I had seen them back then. Honestly, like almost every single queer movie that I saw was post high school.
Oh, shit, dude. Really? Mm-hmm. I saw Debs when I was like 15, 16.
It came out when
used
I was
to come
like,
on, like.
It came out when I was like 12. So I didn't see it for a long 15, time.
14. Yeah. Yeah, like it was really awkward because I actually saw it like on like Fox at like 2 in the morning. After like Mad TV came off, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, I'm interested. They're all girls. Mm-hmm. This is heading somewhere I want it to go.
Yes.
And sure. Lo and behold.
And I can't,
but yeah,
I can't
so,
remember when I first saw Itty Bitty Titty Committee. I have no idea. Like, I think it just randomly fell into it. Like, I don't know.
I definitely saw it like on a YouTube hole. Like, you know, like, you know how back in the day, YouTube used to have movies in like 10 parts?
Oh, yeah. It kind of still does,
yeah,
but you have to be really careful.
You have to be careful because it's not the same. Like back in the golden age, it was like you had to look for all the parts. So yeah, that's how I saw Itty Bitty Titty Committee on YouTube in like 10 parts.
Wow.
So worth
well,
it.
Well, yeah, like super disclaimer, both of these movies are really hard to just find on streaming. They're not on Netflix, they're not on Amazon Prime, they're not on Hulu, they're not really on like anything that I found, which sucks.
Yeah.
But they're available for like rent for like a
YouTube.
Pretty cheap price. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube.
You can rent them on YouTube.
Yeah, you can rent
for like $2.99,
like $1.99 or something like that. But they're really good movies and they're worth seeking out. And we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna get into it.
Alrighty. Do you want to go first?
I can go first if you want.
Yes. Tell me about Debs.
Okay, this was the older of the two, so that's fine. This came out in 2004. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like. Forever ago. The production value proves it. And but I think it's so special. It came out it was directed by Angela Robinson, who has frequently done like lady loving ladies content. Like she's that creator. You might know her from Professor Marston and The Wonder Woman. She did one of the Charlie's Angels movies, which will become evident once you see this movie, if you see it. She did The L Word. She herself is a lesbian. And she's a woman of color, which is...
What?
a that's rare, like bingo.
That's
treat.
A bingo, dude.
You didn't know that? Yeah, we hit the lottery. I don't know. I fucking love her. It stars Sarah Foster and Jordana Brewster. They're love interest. They're badasses in this movie. So Brewster in specific, like obviously Sarah Foster, you know, yeah, you already know she's a white girl. But Brewster, she's a Latina. She was born in Panama, but she grew up like in London and in Brazil and then in New York, and she graduated from Yale. So,
okay, go yeah. off. Didn't know that.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. But anyways, the main character is Amy, who's played by Sarah Foster. She's a part of DEBS, D-E-B-S, which is like some, basically .com. She's a spy. Yeah. She's a part of like a smaller group within DEBS that consists of Megan Good as Max, who she's a black woman, if you don't know.
Also from our time.
Yeah. Devon Aoki as Dominique. She's an Asian woman. And then Jill Ritchie as Janet, who's just a white woman. So like semi got some low diversity work in there. And Holland Taylor actually makes an appearance in this. So as if you are aware, she is Sarah Paulson's like current girlfriend right now. So this is like an action film. Like this is how it's kind of like plays off as. But at the core of it, like really, it's just like a love story. Like your typical back in the day love story where like the good guy.
It's like a rom-com.
Yeah. The good guy like falls in love with the bad guy, except that they're both girls, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So I think people critiqued it really harshly because like mm-hmm. they expected some sort of like Bond meets gay or like something that you can really take seriously, but to me, like, and to anybody with eyeballs, it's just a comedy and it's super lighthearted and it's really fun, and the critics are goofing, like it has like low ratings, but it's a really enjoyable
yeah,
movie.
I mean, it's not like the reason why we enjoy it is not because like it's like grade A acting, you know, like
or it's the not the worst value. Acting like, either though, like I think it's
not yeah. it's fair
mm-hmm. They do all right,
but for queer standards back then, that's like wow.
Yeah. Even now, like you don't get that kind of content. Like the last thing that I've seen similar to it is like that All Cheerleaders Die movie. I guess that could maybe kind of be it, but that was a little more
that we talked about as
morbid.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, Amy in the story in the plot, she's like this perfect spy with a perfect score, who isn't satisfied by the perfect boy because obviously.
And yeah, yeah, she don't know it yet though.
And then Lucy Diamond, who is Brewster's character, she's like the bad guy. She's like the elusive bad guy that like everybody's like, oh my god, that's like the bad guy, like that nobody has ever even seen in real life. But she like has such a simple life. Like she goes on a blind date with like some member of the KGB or something. And the Debs go after her, basically. They're like, oh, well, let's go try to capture this villain.
She's like a villain / hopeless romantic, and you get that really soon.
Yeah, like really
like,
fast.
Wait, what?
Really fast, you realize, like, she just doesn't care about, like, she cares about crime, but she does, like, more than anything, she's just like, when am I going to get a girlfriend?
It's really cute.
Yeah.
We don't get stuff like this, so wow.
But she basically, because of this little hijacking, she ends up meeting Amy, and she basically find out that Amy is like obsessed with Lucy Diamond as a like conceptually, and she's writing her thesis on her, which is so funny. So whenever Amy finds out that Lucy was there on a date, she's like, what do you mean a date? Like, you know what I mean? Because according to her thesis, there's no way in hell that Lucy could have real emotions. And then Lucy's like, well, let me prove it to you, basically.
She's like, bitch, I have feelings, I'm sensitive.
She's like, I'm having a lot of feelings right now. But that the particular moment when they meet, like that there's a bunch of moments before that moment that could really help me argue my point that this is just a really campy movie. Like it's like action, but it's very campy. Yeah. But one of the fucking funniest things or campiest things is the fact that whenever Lucy Diamond makes her escape from Amy in that moment, and then like her friends catch up with Amy and they're like, she's like, oh, I saw Lucy Diamond, but she left or she got away, and they're like, no way, there's no way that you saw Lucy, you'd be dead right now. And she's like, mm-hmm. I did though. And then they're like, nah. And then they look down and there's diamonds all over the floor. And they're like, and they're like, oh my god, she was here. Like, that's like her signature, like, move to drop a fuck ton of diamonds. And I was like, this is the campiest thing I've seen in my life. I can't. Case closed.
You're like, what the fuck? Castle
Hill. Yes, exactly.
Like, close that shit. I love it.
But yeah, this whole movie is like straight out of like a perfect fan fiction. Like, that's what it is. For Charlie's Angels. Like, Charlie's Angels fan fiction is what this
is. My god, yes, dude. This is what that is.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil like the
whole. A really good one.
Yes, a really like solid one. And I'm not going to spoil like the plot for anyone who wants to go out and watch it, but I will mention one part that I thought was like really interesting in the main character's development. She like towards like later on in the movie, she's told that she, in order to be a spy, and how they classified her as a spy, is that you need to be like a really, really good liar. Like, that was it. Like, everything else can be taught. You can be taught how to be physically able to do a bunch of shit, but the main thing, you need to be a good liar. And I thought that was really interesting. It reminded me that like back in the day, or since the beginning of the film industry, like since the beginning of motion pictures, queer people have been involved in the industry because we have been like natural actors. We have to, like, code switching before code switching was a thing, you know what I mean? Like, it was, we've always had to pretend to be a certain way, and we were like, since children we're good at this shit, right? So we've always been so involved with it. So I got two things from that. Yeah, exactly. So from this, I got two things. One, we're perfect for the TV and film industry. And two, we're perfect for spy careers. So if this whole writing thing doesn't pan out, I guess I'll probably try to be a spy. I don't know.
Actually, that's an interesting note, because I was listening to Fresh Air, and they were interviewing, I think, like, an author about, like, who they would recruit to be, like, KGB or M6, or, like, you know, any secret services. Back in, like, the early 40s, 50s, in the Cold War, excuse me, they used to recruit people that were really good at having secrets. So, like, they a lot of times recruited people that were either, they had closeted political affiliations, or they were closeted because they were queer. Mm-hmm. And they picked those people on purpose because they already knew that they were able to live double lives. So, actually, would be able to be spies back in at least the Cold War days.
Shit, even now, fuck it, let's do it. About to be a spy for.
Let's be spies, bro. Like,
I'm down. Anyways, yeah, it's.
I mean, we can do
like
it.
No secret that there was this point in American film history where there was a turn because of the production code, and like we. Where like queerness in film was kind of forced into the shadows, and I'm like, I think even still today it's struggling to come out of it, and I just want to like super stress how crazy it was that this film got through the cracks and became a movie that went out and got into a movie theater in 2004, even though of course it did not make
money. That's wild.
It did not make money at all. Like, it didn't do that well, but it somehow got through the cracks. And even And it doesn't, it surprises me that it got through. It doesn't surprise me that it didn't make money, because you know what? The Miseducation of Cameron Post and We the Animals and various other movies, they've been struggling. The ones that don't struggle are the Oscar winning Call Me By Your Names. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of small indie films out here that.
The ones about white boys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can probably correlate that with the upcoming movies. Like, which one's going to do well? Probably the one with the white boy. So. We'll see.
The white boy ones.
The one, the other one?
Yeah.
We'll Love, see. Simon.
Well, there's The Favorite, which is, everyone is giving really good reviews. The critics are really liking The Favorite, and it has big names. You know, it has like Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. Emma Stone. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has big names in it, so it'll do good.
Yeah. So it just sucks because, like, in particular We the Animals, which again I will stress is an amazing movie with POC characters. Like, you gotta see that shit. It's just a different experience. I think we talked about pretty recently, or at least I have talked about pretty recently, about how everything is always about like the upper class or people with a lot of money and how far they can fall. This movie is about people who are really struggling to get by, and it's about depression in that time period and how people deal with it and how hard it is. And like, if we're really talking about, there, people are really out there talking about, I want to see that, those kind of stories, it's there. Just go watch it, you know? So I just gotta stress that. But back to Debs, super quick. I will say this movie is a super lighthearted one, and they're gonna go down in queer history as legends, because they we always talk about this as well. This is an escape to queer pain, you know. This is like the opposite. It's like super happy, super chill.
It is, and it that's why it's gonna live forever in our hearts, because it's just like one of those things that like
we could just watch it.
It is what it is. Just
watch it, and you know, you don't have to like sit there.
You could just it's nothing deeper. It's nothing deeper. It is what it is. It's an hour and like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's so
like,
short.
It's not. Yeah, it's adorable, and it is what it is, and it's lighthearted. So I'm going to ask you the very important question of how many cafecitos would you give it?
I would give it half a cafecito. Like I said, the production value leaves something to be desired. This is meant to be more campy than anything, but I thought that it was super cute. Like, I don't know. I will say that like this and a couple of other things that I was watching over the weekend really frustrated me, because they're so quick to be like, but I love you. And I'm like, you've known each other for 2 weeks. Please calm down.
Like, I know this is campy, like, but damn. Wow, it's been like, 2 weeks. Wow. Like,
talk about U-Hauling. No.
Well, I don't know. I think we're just, like, different kind of queers. Because, like, most lesbians after, like, 3 dates are, like, U-Hauling, you know? Like, so I guess it's kind of
three
on the nose.
3 dates is fine, maybe it's but not on the one nose. Date.
Me and you are like, let's date for 5 years and then maybe we'll be actually dating. Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
for me, you're different. You. Me so. Is more like, let's not ever date. That's it.
Let's just like be friends and that's yeah, it. We'll just whatever. That's cute. I like to date someone at least 7 years, maybe then maybe like I'll be like, wow,
cool.
This works. Deb, so cute.
I'm excited to hear your take on Itty Bitty Titty Committee, because I actually originally wanted to cover that movie, but then I was like, you know what? You're better suited for it.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty political movie, slightly bit outdated, but I want to hear your take on it.
Actually, what's funny is that watching this movie again and comparing it to the political world we're living in now is not that different, and that's kind of fucked up.
Right. Like, there's probably just one part of it, and I'll mention this later, that I thought was outdated. But it held up pretty well.
Yeah, jump in. Jump in whenever you feel like coming, because honestly, yes. Okay, that's so I do want to preface it. Oh, okay, that's what she said, y'all. I want to preface it with kind of giving a little small intro to, like, what the Riot Girl movement was and is and how it started. Just because, like... the whole movie is kind of like an intro to Riot Girl culture, but before we go into it, so Riot Girl movement started in Washington in the 90s, and it was during that whole like punk grunge phase of like punk rock, you know, like, and it was created because a bunch of women were like pissed off that like they felt excluded, and they were, it's not just that they were completely excluded from like the punk movement, like they're actively saying that if you're a woman you can't be punk, and they said fuck you, we started this shit, we're gonna keep it going. So they got together and they just started all these like badass like Riot Girl bands, where they got to talk about like shit that's like to this day is still super taboo, you know, like rape, incest, like body positivity, which to this day, like, wow, this is really progressive in the 90s, so you know, wow. Sleater, Kenny came out of that movement. Big Kenny Kill, La Tigre, like shit that like me and you know, because we were really young. That's when we were like growing up, was when this music was happening, but we were just like two Mexican immigrant girls who were like, what's happening, everything's new. So I didn't get to know about this till like later in life, maybe in like high school. And so that's what I wanted to say before we got into Itty Bitty Titty Committee, because this movie is dealing with a lot of different things. It's okay, let's go to the director, because it's very obviously directed by a white woman. And I don't mean that as shade. You know, there's no shade there. Actually, I feel like a part of my heart is connected to this director, and I have a lot of love for her, because we also covered another movie. Well, Maite covered another movie that she put out pretty recently. Mm-hmm. It's directed by Jamie Babbitt. She's also a queer woman. She's not a queer woman of color. She directed But I'm a Cheerleader, a couple episodes of Girls, a couple episodes of Gilmore Girls. She's out here. She's been directing. And the only reason I say it's obviously directed by a white woman is that a lot of the themes in this movie don't seem realistic to what a Latina would do, even in the 90s. And so it's around a story of a young Latina girl named Anna who... This is really progressive for 2007, by the way. This is when the movie came out, because she's already out. Her family knows. There's no problem. I love
they're
that.
So
like,
cool about it. It shook so me to my dope. Core. And it's played by Melanie Diaz.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Melanie Diaz, who's going to be in the next reboot of Charmed. She's, of course, the queer sister. And
oh, dude, I read about that. I was reading, shout out to Auto Straddle. I was reading about the pilot to that episode and Melanie Diaz's character. And you're about to kind of talk about Itty Bitty Titty Committee. And I will say, like, Melanie Diaz's character in Itty Bitty Titty Committee is supposed to be really, really similar to her character on the new Charmed.
Ooh, that's interesting. Isn't it? Because that I kind of like that. I kind of don't. And I'll tell you why. The only, like, thing, the only problem I had with Itty Bitty Titty Committee had nothing to do with queer pain. So, off the bat... This movie, if you, I'm going to give you this, like, it's not about queer pain. The only pain in here is about, like, the struggle of, like, women trying to be heard and seen and fighting for their autonomy and body positivity and all the things that we're doing right now or the things that they were trying to do back then still. So not much has changed. I don't know how much progress has been made, but anyways, back to the movie. Anna is... shout out to her being a Latina. Shout out to her being the lead. What I don't like is that, of course, she likes white girls. And gag?
I mean,
shoot
like,
me into space?
To all their
gross?
Own, I guess.
To each their own, but, like, I'm tired of seeing, like, Latino people, like, have this fixation with white people. And I get it. A white person directed it. They needed everybody to see it, so they had to make the other lead white. I get it, sure. But I'm tired of it. This is a new, this is 2018. We don't want that shit. But okay,
but
2007, we forgive
2007,
you.
But yeah.
We forgive you, 2007, because the movie's doing a lot of other really cool, interesting things. So Anna comes in to this art activist group called Clits in Action, aka CIA. And I love it. But at the same time, they're having a lot of like dyke drama because everyone's kind of fucking each other. And that's what happens.
And they call each other out on it, which I think was interesting.
I love that. So they're trying to, like, what they go around doing is, like, you know, making, like, political art everywhere, which now, shout outs to Twitter and social media, had they been doing that this now, they would be, like, the biggest, like, they'd be, like, Pussy Riot right now, you know?
They'd
like,
be,
CIA.
They would get a lot of attention.
I think Pussy Riot probably got their shit from CIA. They're like, let's be inspired. And that's super cool because they're using art as political fucking movement. And I love it. They go around to like stores and they'll fix bodies and go, you know, they'll be body positive. They'll add a different kind of naked mannequins and they'll have every kind of body in there. And they're like, you know, women are allowed to have all types of bodies. And that's what this whole movie is about, is loving yourself. Anna works in like a plastic surgeon's office where they restore and they make your boobs bigger.
In a breast augmentation location.
Breast augmentation center. There we go. That's the correct term. And she, at first, you know, Anna's kind of naive. She's coming into this. She's a gaby. She doesn't know much. She comes into this and she's like, fuck it, it's a job. And later she meets CIA and her whole world changes and becomes about, you know, riot girl movement. It becomes about fucking the system. Like, fuck capitalism. Fuck gender norms, fuck everything. Like, she's really fighting against the man. And I love it. I love all of this. She's, everything she's doing, trust me, guys, are the things we do now. So it's not like, I think this was just mad progressive for 2007. Like, it was like a laughing point in 2007, whereas now it is what we do. Like, we're body positive. There's people who are gender nonconforming. There are trans men. There are genderqueer people. Like, I love this. Like, there's all ranges of people in here. There's sex positive women. Like, this is a actually super progressive, really good movie. And, you know, they have to have, they have to insert the dyke drama for us to watch. But, you know, other than that, yeah. I'm not going to spoil what Anna does and the mistakes she makes as a naive gaby who likes white girls. And that never, trust me, that never leads you down the right path, boo. Never trust the weird white girl who has, like, a political, like, I don't know. She thinks she's really out here doing something. Don't trust that bitch. Go to school. Learn something first, ho. Or don't go to school, but get a job. Do something for the movement. Make actual change, you know? Don't just, like, talk shit, you know? Be about it.
Which is what Anna ended up causing violence. Doing. I think she kind of got over, like, following the orders and kind of became, mm-hmm. like, more autonomous.
She came into herself, and that was beautiful. And I guess I want to get down to the only thing I didn't really like about this movie was that it wasn't realistic, because I didn't agree with it. And that's, I guess, that's why you're hearing my opinion on it, because I'm going to tell you what I didn't like. Okay, this is my only thing with it. She's a Latina, and her sister's getting married, and she's kind of being a dick the whole time. Honestly, like, the whole movie is about her getting better with the movement, but, like, if you're Latina and your sister's getting married, even as a queer woman, you say, you know what, I'm going to put myself to the side. This isn't about me. This is about the person I love. I'm going to put my shit to the side and kind of, you know, I'm kind of going to bend to what they want because they're getting married and I love them. And so I didn't like how they made her have basically, like, no family values, because that's not realistic to a Latina. Well, in my experience, this is from my experience. I know there's all types of us out there, and some people have fucked up relationships with their family, but it didn't seem like she did. Her family completely supported her when she came out. They love her. She lives at home with her mom. Her mom read, like, a whole, like, book on lesbianism.
Yeah. I remember that line. Like, that was so cute. Come on,
dude. I thought it was, and the only thing they wanted her to do was wear, like, a push-up bra and be present for her sister. And I think the whole movie, she's just being, like, a selfish asshole, talking about, I want to make political change. I don't want to wear dresses. Dresses are stupid. Yes, they are, but at the same time, it's not about you, bitch. Like, it made me so mad. I was like, bitch, you gonna really do your mama like that after she supported you? At least you can just go, sure, mom, I wear a push-up bra for one day for a couple hours. And guess what? I'll change out of that shit. You know, like, it's not a big deal. Your sister's getting married. You don't have to be an asshole.
I think that's,
you
know, what, like, I liked about her development, is that, like, she was, mm-hmm. like, going through it and being an asshole, like you're saying. And then she was also kind of being an asshole when she got involved with the CIA. And then, like, when she, like, kind of made her little turnaround, she, you know, also remembered, like, because the whole time she's just like, oh, marriage is an institution made by the patriarchy, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, sometimes you just have to give a little, you know what I mean? Because nothing can just go from, like, one end of the spectrum to another in the snap of a fingers, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, but there's 100 things that I care about more than bringing down marriage as an institution. For that reason, I was just kind of like, yeah, like, support your family, like, everything is not as evil as you're making it out to be, or at least not, yeah, like, support your family. And I think that she kind of got to that place where she was just like, she met it in the middle, if you will. She went to the,
yeah, she's,
I won't put this in, but she went to the wedding and she put the bra on and she did her part.
She left
it was done, though.
She left after the actual, like, wedding in the church, but, you know, that's not when it ends.
Yeah, and I know, but, like, I think they were making a...
You show up for your family.
But she did.
And that's why I was like...
In my opinion,
did she, though? She showed up for literally the last part, just very minusculely, and then she dipped. And I was like, And that's when, in that moment, dude, that's when I was like, a white woman directed this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, in our context, where we know that weddings are 12 hours long, like, yeah, she mm-hmm. didn't show up. But in the context of how it was meant to be portrayed in the movie, where they're supposed to, like, in their heads, they're saying she did show up for the family, she did her duty, and then she went to go do the other thing that she can do. That was meeting it.
Yeah,
in
the middle. That's obviously the white perspective.
Right. Yeah,
that was from the white perspective. Because Latinas, oh no, you didn't show up at all. You failed your family. you gotta do it all. Okay, the next day you gotta, what is it called, recalentado or something, you gotta show the fuck up, yeah, for your family, especially because they showed up for her and her sister was actually really good with her while she was transitioning and becoming an asshole, because that like whole angry lesbian stereotype was a thing. Okay, I saw this and I was like, I was mad just watching it because of course I'm an angry lesbian. I was like, this bitch is not showing up for her family. This was directed by a white woman. I am so upset that we didn't, I wanted her to just act, you know, like she got some sense and some manners. But of course she didn't do that, even to the end, to me. Even at the end, I was like, bitch, what are you doing?
With like, with even our context, at the end,
I was like,
it doesn't look that way. But I think they meant to portray her in the way that she kind of met them in the middle. So I chose to look at it that way. Like, yes, that's definitely like the white woman's view. But it was just, and you also have to think like her family was maybe not as whitewashed as you would think, but she wasn't like first generation. I think she was second generation. Like, her mom went to college and did all this stuff, so maybe they did, you know, change their traditions a little bit. I don't know, like maybe it wasn't exactly what we're used to. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's again, you know, this is why it's from our perspective, right, and not from someone else's. Someone else would have a different interpretation of this.
100%.
But, you know, because our parents are immigrants, we look at this completely different, and our family is everything, and we have a different POV from this Latina, and obviously we're all allowed to have different POVs, but that's all, that's what I'm got from it, and I needed to share, yeah, that, because, you know, as an immigrant, that's where my point of view is from, and I'm just kind of like,
well, as children of immigrants, we should say,
white woman wrote this. Yeah, that's true. Children, excuse me, it's children of immigrants.
Yeah, no, and I feel that
first generation. Yeah, it's
my,
yeah,
one of the problems that I had with it, which I think kind of got resolved for me a little bit with one of the scenes, was that she was always like, sort of, or towards the middle, was sort of shaming people who wanted to alter their bodies, like get breast augmentation. So
I wasn't,
yeah,
with that,
so
either.
It's like, yeah, yeah, we should be able to feel comfortable. You know, we shouldn't be like influenced by other people about our bodies. But if it comes from within and it's for yourself, you should be able to do whatever you want with your body, especially for those who have different experiences from us. Like, some people aren't born with breasts like we are, you know what I mean? Like, they just, we can't really judge other people. And I think that's something that came out of one of the scenes. I don't think it was explicit enough, but one of the scenes where she was kind of like made to look ridiculous, shaming, for trying to stop this woman from doing her thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was kind of the same thing in another couple of aspects in that movie, where she was just like, she had to learn, you know what I mean, that like not everything is black and white,
when and where. And that's really, I mean, it's cool that we got to see that too, because we don't often see that with activists. And I think the movie was asking a lot of interesting questions about like, what is the point of all of this? And, you know, like, activism has its place, but there's also, they were making another kind of argument against maybe like the old ways of causing change and being a catalyst in the movement. Is there was two different like movements in the movie of feminism. One was, you know, riot girl movement, political art, we're gonna be in everybody's face with our politics and our gender and our expression, right? And then there was like the old way feminism was, you know, and it was made to look old, dusty, and white, y'all. Like, this is the movie. I'm not saying either or. I'm just saying the movie made the old ways of feminists look old, dusty, and white, which, let's be real, white feminism is those things, you know? And they're actually talking about second wave feminism versus third wave feminism, where third wave is more like what we do right now, like how we are and everything that we've been normalized to feel, you know, body positive, gender nonconforming, trans men, trans women, we're accepting of everything. Intersectional feminism, you know, is like third wave feminism. I don't want to compare them too much because I don't know the total history on it. I know what I know. And then second wave like feminism is going to be more like, you know,
the right to vote, like, yeah, okay.
The right to vote. Right to vote, the right to abortion, like, they're more, like, ingrained in them, like, you know, just women's rights.
Women's rights, yeah, doesn't extend out to...
Yeah, but they're exclusionary, they exclude trans women from the movement. They exclude black women from the movement. And it is old, dusty, and white, but, you know, that's where we are, white feminists. You know, and when people say white feminists, they mean second white feminists. Right. They mean the white women that don't include trans people, you know? And that's real. Intersectional feminism, like, black queer women are not going to undergo the same kind of shit that, like, white women who just want to, like, get abortions. It's very different for all of us. Or incarcerated women, it's different for everyone, you know? We're all going through something else, and you have to intersect mm-hmm. them, you know? So this movie is saying a lot, and I think it's saying a lot about, you know, what can activism do, and what is the importance of it. And I definitely think it leans towards the new wave, and I'm all for it. It's what we're doing to this day, and I love this movie. I'm only gonna take off like a concha because like it's so white, you know, like
I remember towards the 2007. End of it, because like I was so excited about Melanie Diaz, and I was just like, then towards the end of it, it's like they start talking about like every character's like where they are now, and it's like now dating this white woman, now dating that white woman, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. but shout out to JD Sampson, who was in the DJ for La Tigre, who was in this. We love
you. And Sleater Kinney soundtrack like gave me life. I love Sleater Kinney.
Yes, speaking of white women, shit. I mean, the music was great. Yeah, speaking of the white women,
Carrie
right?
Bradshaw's life.
The whitest of women. Yeah, the whitest women from the Riot Girl movement. Shout out to them, which it wasn't all white.
Sleater Kinney. We'll take them.
Yeah, no, I mean, we accept all of these women because they're all about intersectional feminism and what we do now. So shout out to all of them. But again, do I need them to be at the forefront of every fucking movement? No, I motherfucking don't ever in life. And that's how I knew this was, you know, directed by white women who we love. We really love. We love you, Jamie Babbitt. You're the shit.
We were talking about this earlier about uplifting,
but we love you.
POCs and POC creators. And
she really tried. She really tried. Forward.
She tries. She's out there, like, making the effort. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, A for effort, boo. We really, we love and appreciate everything you do for us in the movement and, like, what you've done. It's pretty amazing. And without you, we wouldn't be here talking about you. So that's amazing. And, you know, I give this movie, like, 4 conchas. It does everything that I ask movies to do on the surface. But I just don't like so many white people doing things or being at the forefront of movements when we all know that they never started motherfucking movements, because the most uncomfortable people were always the disenfranchised, and they're always black queer women. So let them stand the fuck up and let them be the leader of the movements that they started. I'm tired of this shit. I know Riot Girl movement started in Washington, and I know it started with a bunch of white girls, but punk rock was not started by white girls, not even by white boys. So get the fuck out of here. So let's get our history right, and let's not erase the people of color that did it. So Jamie Babbitt, I love you. This is nothing to you. I'm just saying, Riot Girl movement itself is flawed, but I love you. And for that, four questions.
So now that we've kind of finished describing a little bit of what Melanie Diaz's character, and we didn't go super into it, but from what I've read, like, it kind of seems like this movie and her character development could have been like what happened before Charmed. Almost like a prequel to Charmed. Like, oh, how did Melanie Diaz's character end up this way? Because then she ends up being like this very activist character in Charmed, which I've already mentioned before. I'm not too excited just based on the trailer, and I don't want to judge it just on the trailer, but reading that made me pretty excited, because I was like, that is a new twist on Charmed. Like, in Charmed, you do not see girls talking about girl power. Like, no.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, this... Like, girl power is great, and I love it, but now they're fucking selling witch kits at Sephora, and I'm like, bitch. Did you see that fucking tweet where it's like white women reading about how their culture got fucking claimed, and what it's like black women and Latinos looking at the white women like, yeah, oh, they claimed your culture, bitch? Welcome. Must be hard, bitch. Like, oh, they took your culture home? Yeah. Welcome.
No, so I feel you.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I still gotta say, like, Charmed is centering, like, Latinas and an Afro Latina, so I'm like, okay, let's just see where it goes.
we give them chances, you know. We're like, wow, you're doing the thing we asked, let's give you a chance, let's see if it's done with respect and with authenticity and, you know, those things we need, you know. It's like, how true to anything is this? Does it have heart? Like Pose, perfect example of doing the fucking right way and done the right way.
Oh, I just finished it yesterday.
I can't talk enough about how much I still love Pose. That last good. Episode, right? Talk about not centering queer pain, talk about like everything we ever wanted, which is
yeah, this
queer love.
That's kind of what this episode is.
And not like romantic either. I'm talking about all kinds of love.
So
yeah,
shout out to that.
It is. But yeah, so what did you have any other qualms with, like itty bitty titty committee?
That was pretty much my main one. Yeah, mm-hmm. For the most part.
Okay,
I'm
same,
excited
same
for this
stock.
Fall TV lineup. There's so many things coming and a lot of mm-hmm. movies coming. Like our we started our podcast at the right time because we were like high and dry at the beginning, and now it's like can't even keep up with all the stuff that's gonna be coming out
with how much diversity we're given. Like what else are you excited about other
God,
than
let
trend?
Me pull up this fucking list because there's a list.
Oh, and you know what, I do want to hear you rant about Dietland. Give it to us. Give it to the gays. Give it to the queer. We want to know. Like, you don't talk about it enough. Let's go for it.
So
go
I
off.
Mean like along the lines of Itty Bitty Titty Committee, like that movie was very much like a lot like what Dietland kind of is. Like it's a lot about feminism, it's a lot about activism, and it's like a very revolutionized, like very like mm-hmm. extreme form of it. But I think it's very interesting in that way, and that it's placed parallel to this woman who's struggling with the way that society views mm-hmm. her and the way she views herself. And so there's so much to do there with body positivity, and it's so intense. Like it's just, I don't know how people aren't talking about it. Like it went a different route from what I expected, and it kind of threw some things in her face that she was like ignoring. I don't know, it's just it just did a lot of things that I was really 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 happy with. And I just go fucking watch it. Like it's good. I don't know
what network is it on.
It's on AMC.
What day does it, do you know what days it comes out, or do you watch it?
It's the first season is done.
Okay, so it's out.
The whole first season's out.
Yes, go watch it, everyone. Go find a way to watch Dietland. Like,
please, because I'm afraid that, like two things happen when a large woman is centered. Two things happen. Either one, it's bad and everybody talks about it, or it's good and no one talks about it. And the latter is happening right now. And if this show doesn't get clout, it's not gonna get renewed. And
oh no.
And that's where I'm feeling this is going.
So everybody go fucking watch Dietland. This is what we asked for. When people do the thing that you ask them to do, you have to go fucking support it with your money and your time. Like if you want to see diversity, go fucking support diversity. Ugh, I'm right. mad. Angry lesbian alert.
Okay, so apparently the Mayans is coming out soon. I honestly, I watched the first episode already. It's not that great.
Of course not. Yeah. It can't be that good. Yeah.
There is a new show called You, where Shay Mitchell, I think, plays gay. I'm not sure. But
again, we love her.
Yeah.
Shout
Let's
out to her.
What else? Ingobernable season 2 is coming out in a couple weeks. Look out for
so
that.
Excited. So excited.
And look out for The Good Place is coming back. It's not like canon queer, but you should watch it.
It is in your heart.
It is in my heart. It is in my
that's
mind.
That's all that matters.
And there's a bunch of stuff that's coming back. So just keep an eye on our social media, CUSU podcast, because we're gonna talk about it.
We'll be posting stuff, and it's super exciting. Super exciting time.
And moving
so
on.
So yeah,
to
do you have any announcements?
So last week was our Patreon episode, and for our many lovely patrons, they got to listen to us react to One Day at a Time.
I cried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we do at the beginning of every or at the our first ever episode of every single month, we shout out all of them by name one by one. So here it goes. See, this is starting. For anyone that's trying to tune out at this point, follow us at CYC Podcast, rate and review and all that good stuff.
5 stars. Anyways,
so shout out to our latest Patreon supporter, which is Elena Carrillo. You're dope. I follow you on Instagram and you have a super cool style. What's good? Thank you for supporting the Cafecito level. The second latest one is Erica Jackie. Thank you for supporting so much. This is your second month. Came back. I don't know why. Or I think it's your third month. maybe. I don't know, but thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Noelle, you've been here from like the beginning. You're the best.
OG.
Shout out to High Low Life Podcast. If you go to cabronaschingonas.com, both mine and Frederica's interviews with her are there. And last but definitely not least, Alicia Merritt, who is in Australia and the coolest person ever. And thank you for your support from the beginning too. One of the OGs.
OGs. Triple OGs. Sure. And then I guess I want to shout out, we should just start with Aaron. Shout out Aaron forever. We love you.
You're the dopest.
If you listened previously, he got to decide the HBO Looking and Raul Castillo basically episode that we did. Shout out Aaron forever. We love you. Shout out Muddy Mud. What's poppin', girl? My favorite Sagittarius. What's up? We see you. She's out here putting out really good content on Twitter that I wish I could retweet all the time, but I can't. Shout out Raciel, who I saw recently, and he's going to Cali Uchis, and I'm going to Cali Uchis, and I want to color coordinate, so I'm going to hit you up and DM you. and then shout out Bae. Thank you. I love you. And that's all for that.
And then double shout out to Chrissy, who needs to choose a reward because she, you know, you deserve to also listen to our extra crap.
Birkenstock gang, what's poppin'?
What's good?
But yeah, so thanks so much. We love y'all. Like, without you guys supporting, we wouldn't be here still doing this. Like, we would, but like, we'd be poor. We'd like, be more struggling poor. Now. So, yeah. Super struggling. Now we're not like super struggling. We're like, we can breathe now. So, It's thanks to y'all that we can breathe. So, we love y'all. Y'all the best.
And if anybody else wants to see what all the hype is about, patreon.com/CYC podcast is where you can find out all the stuff that we be posting. It's every week that we don't post on our regular streaming services, it's because we're on Patreon. The more so, you know. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, follow us on everything, rate us and review us, because that's the only way that I'll know that you actually like us. Otherwise, I'm gonna be like, yeah, they hate us.
Yeah,
they
don't like us. You hate us. Yeah. Yeah, or else you just want us shot in space, which I'm sure some people do, but they can fly out there first. We'll meet. Where can they find you?
My personal stuff is at MYTE Panda.
And y'all can find me at Fried Babita on Twitter and Cabrona on the gram. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, bye.